Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.
What a privilege it is for me to be here today. Really, it is. So I don't have to say too much because I think today we are celebrating, and that's what it is. So I'm just going to drop a few nuggets. Right. So we as a church, when it comes to disciple, Christianity is not very complicated. It's not, we complicate it, but it's not complicated. Matthew 22, 37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your, it's the first and great command. The second is like it. It's like it, same level. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Verse 40 says, and on the law and the prophet hangs on these two laws. So in other words, the Bible can be summarized in loving God, loving people. So it's not complicated. That's, yeah. So what's Christianity? Loving God, loving people. It's not complicated. So the point of departure for everything we do is loving God, loving people. If it doesn't fit in that, you don't do it. So everything, that's the motive in everything we do, is loving God, loving people. How do we love God? We love God by loving people. Not by singing, I love you. You can't come to your wife and sing, I love you, and then you beat her. The action has to be with the words. So the singing is an outflow of what you already do. Don't come sing, yeah, I love you, Jesus, and you led nobody to Jesus. That's a lie. And we did a census last year, November, South Africa. They said 80% of South Africa is Christian. We're number one. As far as murders and violence goes in the world, we're number three in human trafficking. Gender-based violence, we're fighting for top spot. And we're 80% Christian. Well, somebody's lying. Somebody who says they're Christian is not Christian. Some prophet who says he's Christian is not Christian. Some bishop, pastor, apostle, something, whatever, somebody who says they're Christian is not Christian. Somebody's lying. Just bump your neighbor and say, are you lying? Are you lying? You say you love God. So we love God, how? By loving people. And our celebration that we have here is an outflow. It's an outflow of who we are. It's an outflow of an expression, knowing where we came from, understanding the love of Christ. But there's no understanding the love of Christ if you're not leading other people to Jesus. That means you don't have a revelation of his love. And that's why Proverbs 11:30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So how do we love? We love God by loving people. And what's the commission? Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and then teaching them to do what? To obey the commands. Okay, we must know that scripture off by heart. That, pastors, by the way, you should know that scripture off by heart, by the way, because that's like the mission of the church, like that should be on your door. Are you hearing me? Go make disciples and baptize them, and then teach them to do what? To obey the commands. What's the commands? Love God, love people. What's the commands? Love God, love people. How do you love God? By loving people. How do you love people? Make disciples? No, not love God. Come on now. Seriously. No, come on now. Hey. What's this? This is not school. You got to think. You love God, how? By loving people. How do you love people? You make disciples. You win them to Jesus. Mark chapter 16:15 says, Go therefore and preach the what? The gospel, the good news to everybody, all creatures. So that's the commission. Make disciples, baptize them, and then what? Teach them to do what? Obey the commands. What's the commands? Love God, love people. How do you love God? Loving people. How do you love people? Make disciples then? Baptize them? Okay, you got to drown those sins out first. Okay? According to how they lived is how long you keep them under the water. That's how I was baptized. I come out of classical Pentecost. Ek kom uit Afrikaanse kerk uit, ou broer. And when I was baptized, it was an old uncle. He was like 6'6", a big Afrikaans uncle. And I was like 10. And that's how we used to preach. Baptize you in die naam van die Vader, die Seun en die Heilige Gees, volgens Matteus 28 vers 19. So sê die Here, and I'm going, I'm drowning. Maak disciples. Doop hulle. And I'm starting to shake. And then he says, I'm trying to shape not to drown. And I'm coming up. And he says, die Heilige Gees is op hom. Hallelujah. Kuraba babasata. I'm just going, save me, Holy Spirit. So I was properly saved at the age of 10. Baptize them and then teach them to obey what? Obey the commands. What's the commands? Loving people. How do you love God? By loving people. How do you love people? Make disciples. Baptize them and then teach them to do what? Obey the commands. Now, what's the commands again? Loving God, loving people. And then once again, how do you love God? By loving people, right? And then how do you love people? Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey the... And again, what did you say are the commands? Loving God, loving people. And then once again, how do we love God? By loving people, right? Okay, is enough scripture for that? Okay, how do we love people? Make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them to obey the commands. And just once again for the last time, what's the commands? This is now for the slow people. What's the commands? Love God, love people. How do you love people? How do you love God? By loving people. How do you love people? Baptize. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. And that's how you grow in God. You grow in God. You don't have to find your niche or your lane. Thank you, Doc. Your niche or your lane. You don't. In actual fact, you trying to find your niche distorts who you originally are. You trying to be yourself. We've had enough of yourself. Give us a break. The Bible says, not discover yourself. We've got courses on discovering yourself. The Bible says, die. What does the Bible say? Die. Die to yourself. Allow God to form the original design that He had for you while in your mother's womb. He knew you. He knew you while in your mother's womb. He formed you. You're not a mistake. You're not here by accident, and you don't have to try to be unique and special. You're already unique and special the day you were born. You were born a winner. Can I get a big amen there? So once again, it's not. So making disciples, you've got to start off by winning people to Jesus. All of us are called to be soul winners. All of us are called to share our testimony. And that's why he says, he who wins souls is wise, which means he who doesn't win souls is unwise. And that's, you know, in South Africa, the nicest way to say it. We got all kinds of other words we can use. And I'm not going to use it on this platform out of respect. But in our church, I use the other words. Are you hearing me? Don't be unwise. So if you're not winning souls, I can tell you, you're struggling in your life. You're struggling in your marriage. You're struggling with your kids if you're not a soul winner. And many pastors, they go into the ministry and they stop soul winning. When you started in the beginning, you were on fire for Jesus. This is what you did, and you touched people. But as we get more professional in what we're doing, and we're working on the gift, and your gift becomes your identity rather than Christ. And now it distorts the image of who you are. Why? Because it distorts the image of God. Are you hearing me here today? So the question is, why does it make you wise? So it's very simple. When you are focused on your own need, your own, and we've all got needs, right? Call me a prophet. Next week, you'll have needs. Call me a prophet. Next year, you'll have need. You have needs till the day you die. And then we need to bury you. You die, you needy. So needs can't be the basis of ministry. It can't be the basis of what we share. The basis is the love of God towards us. And because of that love, Paul says, I am compelled, driven. And that's why when you are not winning souls, your eyes are down on your own need. I need, I need, I need. And then we come to church and it's about I need. And it's a little, I want, like my little grandchild. Because, Opa, I want, I want, I want. And I say, what do you want? I want, I want. I say, what's wrong? Are you hungry? Yes, Opa, I'm hungry, I want. I said, no, you can't want that. Let me give you some fruit. I don't want. Don't want. And that's like we come to church. We got all needs. I want healing, money. I want. Take my husband home, Lord. It's his time. And then pastor comes up and he preaches a word. He says, right, you want breakthrough? Win souls. Oh, I don't want. I don't want. Do devotion. Oh, I don't want. Don't want. Study the word. Oh, don't want. Don't want. Fast. Oh, no. Don't want. Don't want. So at the end of the day, we need to get to God and understand that he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. He says, you do not have to worry about these things. He says, after these things, the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. And that's why Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Huh? I shall. I shall not want. Why? He's my shepherd. So I don't have to put effort and time into those things. I don't have to pray about things like that. Adulterated prayers. No, I can pray for the lost. I can pray for people. I can pray for others. And as my heart is for others, what happens is now I lift up my eyes. That's why Matthew 9:36, it says, and when Jesus saw the multitudes, do you see the people around you? When Jesus saw, he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, when he had issues with Lot, God said to him, he said, Abraham, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see. Look to the north, the south, the east, the west, and whatever you see, says that I will give to you and your descendants. And here's the thing, if you're not winning souls, it means you're not seeing others. And if you're not seeing others, it means your eyes are on yourself. That means your eyes are down. That means your eyes are in the ground like a chicken. And that means you have no vision. You have no vision. If you're not willing souls, you don't have vision. If you don't have vision, it's impossible to make good decisions. Now you've got to make decisions concerning your marriage. You make decisions concerning your spouse based on what? You make decisions concerning your children and their future. You make decisions concerning your finances, but you don't have vision. Your eyes are in the ground. You're running a church, you're running a ministry, you've got hundreds or thousands of people, you're making decisions, but your eyes are in the ground, in the mud. How is it possible to make good decisions if you don't have vision? So it's on the needs of the ministry rather than the lost. So if you want your church to grow, you want the ministry to grow, you want your family to grow, you want your children to be raised right, then what do we need to do? We need to lift up our eyes and see. Like when I have the waitress coming, I see her not as part of the machinery. Oh, my food is cold. Why? I've been coming here for 20 years. The service is just going backward. Where's the manager? Call the manager. I want to see the manager now. And no tip for you. Late, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes. Chore. 20 minutes is more than what you earn in a month. You see, we can have that type of attitude and type of thing, but you don't see the person that needs Jesus. And not that, see, so do you see the person? Do you have vision? Standing in a long line, and now you're saying, this long line, oh, the service, yeah. Now I've got to stand here a whole half an hour. Rather than seeing the people and say, Lord, you ordained it for me to be in this line with a captured audience for an hour. Lord, what do you want me to do? See, that's seeing the people. I don't travel and sit on a plane and get to the other side and the person next to me doesn't hear about Jesus. By the grace of God, ordained by God, that person, bless their soul, is captured. God ordained it that you sit next to me. Ooh! On the way coming to Cape Town, I was sitting next to the guy. I said, yep. I said, why did God ordain that you sit next to me? I said, you're not going to church anymore, are you? He said, no. I mean, this was into the discussion. I started speaking to him. Yeah. So guess where he's going to be on Sunday? In church. Easter Friday, I brought personally. Not I did the altar call. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry can do an altar call. I've got 16-year-olds that can do better altar calls than most pastors. So now you're the anointed one because you do the altar call and people come forward. No, no, no. Those souls are not your souls. Those souls are the souls of the people that brought them. Pastor, you've still done squat. You've done nothing. My question is, who did you bring to church? Is this helping you? I brought 14 people on Friday. 14 unsaved people. Which means I hang around unsaved people. Go to gym for unsaved people. I mean, the mug and bean there is like my office. Everybody there is in the church by now. I mean, after 5 years, are you hearing me? And it's near the church. So they get saved every single time. One of my staff members are there. They're getting saved over and over. They can't but be saved or be a cell leader. That's how you affect them. 14 people. 8 of them gave their lives to Jesus. Are you hearing me yet today? Why? It helps me to be wise. Now, do I have to do it? No, I don't. Our church is on fire. God's doing a work there. I can manage. But you see, it's to help me to keep that I have vision. And I'm not speaking down on anybody because there's times where I find myself where I'm not doing it. I'm so caught up in the ministry and doing the ministry and I'm traveling and I'm ministering to pastors and I'm all over the place. You understand? But then I realize I've got to sharpen that knife. I've got to get there. And then what? I go and I win. When souls, passion, Lord, help me see people. And helping me see people helps me to raise my kids, helps me with my wife. My wife's the same, passionate about leading people to Jesus. But we've got to consciously make that decision because we can get so busy with family and everything that we don't get winning people. So I'm not speaking down on anybody as if I've got it together all the time. No. I repented 2 weeks ago quickly before I came here and no, I'm joking. But we've made it a lifestyle this year. Made it a lifestyle. Every single week I lead people to Jesus. Are you blessed? Yes. Is this helping you? Yes. Amen. It says, without vision, my people perish. They run wild. They're unrestrained. And that's the issue that we have with the church. They're unrestrained. The main things are not the main things anymore. They take in their gifts, and I've even heard statements, I love the supernatural. Seriously? You love the devil? The devil's also supernatural. See, signs follow. What? When you preach the gospel. And then to those who believe, signs will. Do I believe in the power of God? Yes. And I appreciate Dr. Theo, how he does it, because it's Jesus. Everywhere it's Jesus. But like Pastor Ed said, the young guys they see the wrong thing. They're looking at the miracles. They don't see Jesus. You understand? No, no, no. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples is the love. Is the what? The love is the love. Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them to his murderers. Not you're going to burn in hell. You don't know who I am, chummy. You're going to, you got brand. Oh, for you. That's how we think. Jesus says, forgive them. It's so important that while on the cross, Jesus is doing evangelism. One of the criminals who believed went to be with him in paradise. Isn't that incredible? See, that's what it is. It's love. And everything, our gift flows out of love. Miracles flows out of love. The power of God flows out of love. So if you're not winning souls, please don't pray for the sick. If you're not leading people to Jesus, please don't get onto the stage and preach to anybody. That's where it starts. Let's do the basics first. Let's all stand. Time's up. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, we repent. And Lord, it's not that we do it on purpose, but when we find ourselves, we're so caught up in our stuff and the family and our issues, and our eyes go down. We lose faith. Please forgive us, Lord, and help us, empower us, strengthen us with might according to your glorious power. Lord, that we'll be able to fulfill your mandate and calling. We make a decision, Lord, that we'll be soul winners, that we'll share our testimony, that we'll touch people's lives wherever we go and make that difference. And thank you, Lord, we're trusting you in this year for a great harvest. The church is the answer for this nation. The church is the answer for this continent. And Lord, we pray that you'll use us to make that difference in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.